Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health, well, my gosh, it's our business. And we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Not even Royal Canin. Gosh, that is one that just goes. I mean, I'm like, what is the deal with Royal Canin? Why is that like the dog crap choice for veterinarians? I don't get it.
It's marketing. It's marketing. You know, I have kind of a funny story about Royal Canin. When I owned my former practice, Bellevue Animal Clinic, the Royal Canin rep would come by and he'd kind of poke his head in the door and say to the girl at the reception desk, I don't need to talk to anybody. I just got to give you my card. I just got to tell you I was here because this is my route and I get in trouble if I don't stop by. I know you don't want my food. Have a good day. Because we had trained him, like, you know, dude, you're just wasting your time here. And he's like, I know. I just got to check you off that I gave you my card. You wouldn't even talk to him. But I think it's marketing. And I think it really has to do with, like, there's a good Royal Canin sales rep in the area, as opposed to maybe the Hills rep is not quite so diligent. And, you know, I think these trends take off in certain areas. And that's why certain foods, you know, get a foothold. And then, you know, the local veterinarians talk and say, well, and you know, this is what I sell. What are you selling? And then they're all selling the same thing. So then that makes it okay, right? Because you're not standing out on your own recommending something like raw food, right? You're recommending what everybody else is recommending. So, hey, it must be right.
You know, it sounds like our world today, right? Everybody, groupthink, we just all, I saw this video the other day and I've seen it before, but it really brought home this concept about groupthink. And it's the video where they put together all of the news people are saying the exact same script. And they put it together. Have you seen that?
Where they're all, I haven't seen it.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to send it to you because it's like, it's literally like 100 different media personalities are reading from a script and they line them up and they're all saying the exact same thing all throughout the country, all different stations, the exact same thing. And you're like, somebody got a script. Mm-hmm. There's no way that they could all be saying the exact same thing word for word.
Right. Exactly. There's a message that the powers that be want to get out. And so what better way to do it? There's no free press. There hasn't been a free press for a long time. Yeah. They just tell everybody to say the same thing. And then everybody hears the same thing. So that makes it true, right? Whether it is or not, if everybody's hearing the same thing on every channel and every, you know, mainstream news outlet, well, then that must be accurate. Because then everybody's talking about the news and they're all talking about the same things. Unless, you know, you're like rebels like us that say, no, we're not going to believe that stuff.
Did you see in the annals, not the anals, but in the annals of internal medicine, there was a report that came out and it said the effectiveness of adding a mask recommendation to other public health measures to prevent SARS-CoV-2 infection is basically BS. And so they give the abstract. They say that mask wearing doesn't really do its job, although we know that already, right? Sure. We know that. This is a true randomized control trial that they did, the Danish did. And so you can find it. It's called the Annals, A-N-N-A-L-S, of Internal Medicine.
I think it's just such an important time, you know, for people to think for themselves. I mean, we talk about this when we're as far as pets are concerned, but it's, you know, the same with this virus. You need to you know, kind of trust your instincts and, you know, be real careful about where you get your information and look at your own situation and think for yourself. Don't let mainstream media be making up your mind for you on any topic.
Well, I got to say this, Dr. Jasek. In order to think for yourself, you have to step outside of the box. And when I was in my speaking career, I used to talk about this all the time. And I literally would go up on stage with a red box and I would stand inside the red box talking about being in the box. And then I would jump out of the red box and then I would go on with my talk. But you can't just talk about getting outside of the box. You have to do the things when the rubber meets the road. Okay, so you can't just go along to get along, right? That means when you walk into the veterinary office, and I hear this every day, what do I say to my vet about the raw diet? I said, don't talk to him about it. If they're going to tell me that I'm going to kill my pet. So do you believe it? You know, you either believe it or you don't. You have the right to say thank you very much. And go on down the road. I had someone ask me that the other day. You know, I'm like, what? Why do you care what they think? Yeah,
say thank you very much for the information, but this is what I choose to feed my dog, or find a different vet.
Right. Or listen to both sides. You can listen to that argument that we hear time in and time out. It's got bacteria, and you're going to get sick. Okay. And then is it complete and balanced? And I would say, what does complete and balanced mean? We talked about that a million times, but again, it is this fear of being rebuked by somebody else, of being looked at. You know, we all have this responsibility to keep our immune system intact, keep it healthy. And if that's not what you want to do because you don't want to upset somebody, well, that's your right too.
Right? Yeah, right. People have the rights to make choices, but, you know, we should all have, you know, that same right is to make choices, and we should be respecting, you know, I think other people's choices. Because you know what? If you want to go out without a mask, if these masks are so darn good and somebody's wearing a mask, then what are they worried about? You know, like if they're so convinced that masks are going to prevent the spread and they're wearing a mask, what difference does it make, you know, whether you do or not?
Right. Right. So you've got to have big bison balls of courage. You know what, Dr. Jasek, every time that I'm studying about any kind of a disease in dog, I don't care what it is. You know what it always comes back to? The immune system. Every single time, whether that is gunky ears, right, itchy skin, or digestive issues, it all comes back to, does your dog have a healthy immune system? And I am not certain why, other than commercials don't talk about it. Nobody really promotes a healthy immune system. We promote drugs and other types of remedies that don't really benefit the immune system. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, totally. And I think it's really important for people to realize that people have to get away from this kind of way of thinking that conventional medicine has led us down this road, that if, you know, your pet has a symptom. So your pet has a symptom. A symptom is a sign from the body, whether it's diarrhea or vomiting or itchy skin or smelly ears or whatever it is. This is a sign from the body that the body is inflamed, and we need to be looking at, okay, what does the body need? Conventional medicine says we have a pill that will suppress that symptom and make it go away in a day. And that's what people, I think, are used to. But when we are healing the body and healing and I like to think about it as a dysregulated immune system, because it's not always just that the immune system is weak. I think sometimes it gets so messed up, especially with over-vaccination, that the immune system doesn't know what's friend or foe. So the dog's itching like mad because it's just reacting to everything. And you know, its gut is damaged from too many pharmaceuticals or poor diets. And so we have a leaky gut, which allows substances into the blood that don't belong there. So the immune system is constantly reacting. It's like we have to re-educate the whole immune system. Yes, we want to support it. We want to give it the nutrients that it needs. But we also have to teach it how to respond appropriately. And that takes time. It can take months, especially if something's been going on for a long time. Because, yeah, you have to educate the body on how to handle things, because the body knows what to do and the immune system knows what to do. But, yeah, the pet's immune systems get so messed up with these drugs and these inappropriate diets. And a lot of that comes down to the microbiome. Well, guess what? 80% of the immune system starts in the gut. So if you don't have a healthy digestive system and a healthy microbiome, there's no way you're going to have a healthy immune system. And, you know, we were talking about this pre-show. Every single pill, every dose of a pharmaceutical, whether it's a pain med or an antibiotic or, you know, whatever, or, you know, the worst are these, you know, immunosuppressive medications like Apoquil or steroids. Every single dose is going to have a negative impact on the microbiome. And the longer you do that and the longer you cycle back to these drugs, because they work in the short term for a while. And then, you know, you were mentioning a case earlier too that, well, now guess what? The antibiotics aren't working. Well, yeah, duh, because you've just hammered the body so much and the immune system just can't re-regulate anymore.
Yeah, I wonder how many of your patients come in for either itchy skin or itchy ear infected issues?
Oh, I see itchy skin all the time. It's becoming, I would say, probably more than 80% will say their pet has some degree of itchiness. And these cases are tough. I mean, we always start with the diet, but, you know, getting the diet right. But I think some of these pets, you know, have that their immune systems have gotten so messed up that it's just more than the diet change. And it's not about just trying different proteins. You know, like a lot of people are like, well, my dog's still itching. So I tried beef and I tried turkey and I tried fish and my dog's still itching. What the heck's going on? It's, well, because you've hammered the gut and the immune system, and we need to get that re-regulated. And it's tough. These are challenging cases, because there's not a one size fits all, and there's no magic bullet. And you got to jump in and start trying some stuff and see, you know, what works for the individual pet. So it takes a lot of patience and a lot of perseverance on the part of the pet parent.
Yeah, it really does. I know it's frustrating, but, you know, I look at my two Germans and neither one of them are itchy, not even in this time right now where it's so dry. And again, I'm a minimalist, you know, as are you, as is Neely. And so I don't see the itchiness, and I feel for those parents. With all the dogs that you see, with all the dogs that I see, every dog is going to be different. It's hard to say why a particular pet has loose stools on a certain blend and another dog doesn't. I don't know.
You got to think too, okay, this is real food. Every duck is different. Every turkey is different. You know, there could just be something about, it's not that the food is bad. And people like automatically jump to, well, the food's bad. It's making my dog sick. Well, maybe there's something in that particular blend that doesn't agree with your dog for whatever reason, because this is, you know, whole food feeding, and maybe there was a little something different about a batch. It doesn't mean that the food is bad. It means that that's not the best thing for your dog. So try something else. I mean, I go through this with my dogs. I mean, anytime they have a loose stool, which happens sometimes, you know, I'll put them on the turkey PMR, that higher bone content, and just firms them right up, you know. because you never know what dogs are getting into. I mean, people always come back to blaming the raw food. You know, I was walking my dogs yesterday, and my little Wiley, you know, he's a terrier. You know, he's always got his nose down, and he's looking to eat anything he can find that's even remotely related to food. If he finds it and we're out and about, he's got it in his mouth, chomping it down. And sometimes I don't even know what he's eating. Well, yesterday he picks up something and we're walking and he's chomping and chomping and chomping. I'm like, what did he pick up? And I stop and I pull it out of his mouth and it looked like a toe off a bird. Literally, it had a claw on it. I have no idea. A bird must have died and the toe hadn't decomposed yet, or I have no idea. But come on, that was sitting there in the ground for God knows how long. You think that's not full of stuff? You know, like, you never know what they're picking up. And I guess my point is, you know, it's not always, well, probably rarely is actually the food making the dog sick. We just need to find what is the best routine for that particular individual.
Yeah, and right now during hunting season, a lot of people are adding in antelope, deer meat, elk meat, bones, all of those kind of things. And it's almost impossible. You know, you and I go through, and Neely goes through the typical, you know, here's the typical thing. But I can't say, you know, I can't say. But what I can say is this, is that if you keep the starch and the sugar and the grains out of your dog's diet and let their immune system work, they're going to be fine. And if you find that, okay, well, this elk fat, I have too much elk fat in here and it causes loose stool, then pull it out. What always drives me crazy, Dr. Jasek, is people never worried when they were feeding a kibble diet for years. It was like, I totally trust this kibble in the bag. I totally trust all of these vaccines and all these medications. But you put them on a raw food that is balanced, let's use that word, but it does have the bones and the organs and the fat and nothing else in it. I just always wonder why that is so scary.
Right, because it's, well, because it's different. It's not mainstream. But yeah, the stuff that's in kibble, now that is scary. That is scary. I actually had a client this past week come in, and she can't get on board with feeding raw because she's vegetarian, and just the idea of bringing raw meat into her house just does not set well with her. So, okay. This particular dog had had bladder stones, and we had had a lengthy discussion about diet. The dog had been on kibble. So they came in, they're feeding the dog canned chicken. I mean, just canned chicken, like not dog food, just chicken. And then she says, oh, and here's the treats, and brings out a container of milk bones and a container of bacon strips and says, what do you think about these treats? We're working hard to keep this dog out of the OR because this dog had a bladder full of stones and they don't want to see the dog back in surgery. So I would think they'd be pretty motivated. And we've had all these discussions about appropriate diet, and like, and those are the treats you're giving your dog, because treats do matter, and even a little bit, even an occasional milk bone could throw your dog out of whack and damage the gut and damage the microbiome and keep this itchiness going. So I think a lot of times there's parts of the routine that can be really damaging.
Please, please look at the treats that you're giving your dog, because you do. You spend a lot of money on raw food, right? You're doing the best, and then you're throwing these crappy treats in there, guys. Don't do that. Do not do that. I've always said the treats should be one single source treat, right? If it's lungs like what we have, which, yeah, are they smelly? You know, that's the thing. Real food, real organs, real meat, real tripe is going to have a smell to it, guys. It just is. I don't think there's any way to get around that.
Yeah, but, you know, so does kibble. I mean, I mean, it's been a long time since I have smelled kibble, but I remember like the last time I did after not having smelled it in a while, I'm like, oh my God, that's like the most disgusting smell in the world. It's way worse than, you know, than raw food, but yeah, it's going to have, it's real meat. It's going to have an odor, you know, living things have odors. Smell your underarms, you know, you got an odor. You stink sometimes. Does that mean you're, you know, there's something wrong with you?
Could be. Take a shower. So you talk about these ear problems. I just wanted to say something about ear problems. You guys, a lot of times, just clearing up the diet will help these ear problems go away. But Dr. Jasek, a lot of people put a lot of things in dogs' ears. And I think that that could be scary because they go out there on the internet and they're reading about, you know, colloidal silver, or they're reading about calendula or whatever, or these treatments. And I worry about that sometimes. I think that you got to be really careful about what you're putting in your dog's ears.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's important to know what's going on. So I always like to look in the ears because, you know, a dog can have itchy ears that come in and they're red and a little inflamed and they're very itchy, but they don't have a real infection. They don't have all that dark, gunky debris. I'll see some dogs that come in that their ears are so full of this dark, gunky debris that you just start putting stuff in there. You're just adding more layers to the problem. You have to get them cleaned out. So you have to have them on an appropriate routine based on what's going on in the ears. And the ears are tricky because, you know, without an otoscope, you can't see down in there. And those canals are long. And the other thing that happens is you have to, whatever you're going to treat with, you have to persist until that ear is cleaned out. Because if you have an ear that's full of this, all this debris and pus and all this stuff we sometimes see in infected ears, and you don't get that all ultimately cleaned out of there, it's just going to come right back. And so it's not so much that what you're doing may not be working, is that you're not... Well, it could be that it's not working, but it could also be you're not going long enough and getting those ears cleared. And with ears, I mean, I like to recheck them and I like to keep looking in those ears until I know that we've at least made some real significant headway and that we can then get on a maintenance program. Because the, you know, those ears, it's like this, you know, dark, you know, moist tunnel, just perfect environment for bacteria and yeast to grow. So they love to grow in there. And once it's inflamed, and ears, when we have inflammation in the body, ears are just a common spot where it shows up in dogs. Now, all pets seem to have sort of a weak link. So the body gets inflamed and some pets will get diarrhea. Some will get itchy skin. Some get ears and butts. I've seen this a lot where dogs' ears itch and their butts itch. So they're scooting, right? And it's not the anal glands. We, you know, we can check the anal glands and they're fine. It'll be mostly their ears and their butts in some dogs. You just see those two sites, so the body's still inflamed, but it's going to manifest in different locations in different individuals. So that's what, you know, so you look at it, but then you also have to look at the underlying cause. So what do we need to do to, you know, treat that ear and get that ear cleared up? But then we have to look at what is causing this underlying inflammation in the first place. So if you're feeding milk bones or Beggin strips, probably going to get that ear infection back at some point.
You're going to see them scooting their butts across the grass.
That's right. Rubbing their head and scooting their butts.
Damn, I'm a mess. it's so great working with Dr. Jasek. And I want to encourage all of you guys to go over to Dr. Jasek's website, ahavet.com, because you are minimal on putting all of these things in the dog's body. That's why we talk about vaccines. There's no way to give a clean vaccine. There's got to be all of these other adjuvants that are going into your body. That's why I love the no-sodes, right? You just take in the little... See, they need a no-sode for COVID-19, Dr. Jasek.
I bet somebody's made one. you know, they're just not going to like put it out there, but I bet there's some homeopathic practitioner somewhere that has it. Cause all you need is like some nasal discharge from somebody that tests positive, and then you just dilute it out a whole bunch of times and there's your nose out.
I'm fine with getting a virus because I know what somebody on Twitter, a doctor said, viruses are going to virus. That's what they do. Right.
Right.
They're going to act like viruses and they're going to come through. And I would rather my body be prepared instead of having to do two things, Dr. Jasek, when you take a vaccine. Number one, your body's got to fight off all of the other toxins that are going into your body and fight off the virus. To me, that sounds like it's not a good strategy. But
right, right. And they found this, you know, like, why do you think that people with, you know, comorbidities, so people with heart and lung issues and other chronic illnesses, you know, they say these people are more susceptible to COVID. Well, how many medications do you think those people are on? I bet 6, 8, 10. They probably have a whole pharmacy in their medicine cabinet that they're taking every day that is damaging their immune systems. Like we were just talking about, you know, if you're giving your pets pharmaceuticals, you're damaging the gut and you're damaging the immune system. So is it even really these comorbidities that people have, or the fact that they're on so many different medications and their immune system is just, you know, completely messed up?
Right. You would think that would be something that would be looked at, that they would say, what all medications are you on? But even in nursing homes, and by the way, happy birthday to your mom, who is now
99. She turned 99 on November 10th. Yep.
That is amazing. 99 years old. Oh my gosh. And let me ask you a question. How many, is your mom on very many medications?
She does have some high blood pressure, so she's on something for that. And her legs like tend to swell, so she's on a low dose of a diuretic to help her heart function better. But thankfully, we have a great doctor. And she's very much a minimalist when it comes to medications. And she really takes, you know, mom's health seriously. One thing I have run into with some other doctors my mom has had is they're very dismissive. Like, well, you know, she's made it past 95. She's breathing. Next, you know, like they don't even put any effort into what can we do to help her and to help improve her quality of life. And actually, mom was on more medications and we've been dropping her off of them. I mean, slowly and carefully and with, you know, medical guidance and all of that. But, you know, she'll have side effects. She's like, I'm just too tired all the time. You know, I just don't have energy. And her doctor will say, well, maybe, because at one point she was on like 3 different high blood pressure medications. Maybe we need to just, let's just decrease one of those blood pressure medicines and see, you know, if that's having an effect. So she actually takes her off of medications and has symptoms, which is so refreshing, so refreshing. So yeah, she's, I would say all things considered, for somebody that's been on the planet nearly a century, she's doing quite well.
That's amazing. And, you know, one of my best friends, she worked for a company in Oklahoma for a long time that they would go in and they would swab. Right? Nursing homes were their biggest client. They would go in and they would swab and they would test their DNA and they could show all of the medications that were having adverse reactions or, you know, playing against one another. Well, guess what? That company was, and it was free. And it was free to the patients because Medicare paid for it. But that company is no longer around because they got so much pushback because the doctors and the nurses in the nursing home did not want to swab. They didn't want to take the time to swab. And they found so many patients that were paranoid or were crying or were screaming out, not because they were mentally ill, but because their medications had adverse effects against each other.
Yeah. And it, and for people that can't speak up for themselves, that is tragic. You know, my mom, that was maybe 6 or 7 months ago, she started having hallucinations. She would like literally see people in her bedroom at night. She'd wake up and see a dead animal laying next to her. I mean, just really freaky stuff. And so my mom is incredibly lucid for 99. So she got out every single insert from the medications she was on. And she gets this like restless legs where the legs twitch. And she was on this medicine for that. And she read every single side effect. She researched every single side effect of every medicine she was on. And she calls me up and she says, I think this restless leg medicine is causing my hallucinations. And turns out it's a treatment that's also used for Parkinson's. And lo and behold, hallucinations is one of the side effects. And we took her off of it and put her on some magnesium, you know, just simple magnesium to help with her legs, and no more hallucinations and no more restless legs. And she's came off of that medicine. But for people that can't, you know, speak up for themselves and they just feel miserable, but they can't, you know, communicate, they just suffer. They just suffer. It's so sad. And a lot of doctors will just stack medicines. You have a side effect, you just get another one, and you get another one, and you get another one. And my mom has actually done better, like I was saying, pulling her off of some of these medications.
And now all your mom sees are dead people voting. So no hallucination there. That is the truth.
You know, another thing about this whole COVID thing that I think people, the COVID vaccine, that people really need to be aware of it, because I see this in veterinary medicine all the time, that vaccine adverse reactions, so any kind of reaction or sickness that comes on after a vaccine, is not recognized. And I see this all the time in veterinary medicine. People will tell me, you know, my dog, actually I was talking to a client yesterday, very, very sad. Her dog had a rabies shot and got a severe encephalitis that lasted for years. The dog was not like normal for several years after that vaccine. But those things oftentimes are not recognized. Well, we don't know where it comes from, but it couldn't possibly be the vaccines. I mean, I've heard that so many times. And it's the same in people. I had a veterinarian that worked for me a number of years ago, and her daughter had a severe reaction to the MMR vaccine. I mean, she found her seizing in her crib, and her daughter ended up with a permanent brain injury. Very, very sad. But she said just to get the ER doctor to report it as a vaccine injury, it was like an act of God. They don't even want to acknowledge, like they'll, you know, treat her baby. But when it comes to acknowledging that it's due, that the symptoms were due to the vaccine, they don't want to do it. And I mean, her baby was perfectly fine, got the vaccine, and then they found it seizing in the crib that night. So that, like, seizures don't just come out of nowhere like that, you know? But they would not acknowledge it. Now, she was outspoken enough that, you know, so there's also, you know, there's this fund, every vaccine that's sold, a certain amount of that sale goes into a fund to compensate people for vaccine injuries, or people whose children have vaccine injuries. And I think it's to keep people quiet, because she was very outspoken and she did end up getting a settlement, and her attorney told her, like, this is just to keep you quiet. So, you know, she, her daughter needed 24/7 care. So the money really was a big benefit to her, but she was told that, you know, you better keep your mouth shut or they'll find a way to, you know, pull those funds. So, you know, be careful of the narrative is my point. When this, you know, vaccine comes out and all of a sudden people are getting sicker, I would not be surprised if they just say, well, this virus is just surging, you know, we better do more vaccinating because this is all the virus. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with the vaccine. So be very careful about what the narrative is that comes out when people start getting sick from this vaccine.
Exactly. And that's exactly what my fear is that will appear to be COVID-19 when it's really the vaccine. And what what is so crazy to me, Dr. Jacek, is that you get boxed in. Okay, so here's the law, and everybody says, well, it's a law. I have to have a rabies vaccine. And when we start looking at what's going to happen with COVID, you know, it depends on really how this election turns out. But when they say, all right, we're going to have to, you're going to have the vaccine in order to get on the plane or to come in the grocery store or whatever. So it may not be mandated. However, you may not be able to survive or have a very big footprint in the world if you don't get this vaccine. And so it's same with rabies vaccinosis, right? Mm-hmm. So these things that come from the rabies shot, mental, emotional, and physical symptoms in your dog, it's sort of a catch-22. You're like, well, I have to have it. I have to have this thing that is going to damage my dog in many different ways because it's the law. So that is very, very tough. And I think that I think that at some point people are going to have to start pushing back on this. And I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. But if you say, all right, you know, anaphylactic shock, face swelling, different things like seizures, groupie eyes. They even talk about poop eating habits can start from these vaccinations. And an interesting thing that I just learned the other day was that puppies who have never been vaccinated, Dr. Jacek, can also have rabies vaccinosis from their parents who is getting passed down through the DNA. Isn't this crazy?
Yeah. Right. Right. They've shown a lot of things now, you know, are, you know, multi-generational. You know, I've heard this about like glyphosate in people. Like now we're on like I think our third generation of people that have been exposed to glyphosate, and the adverse effects continue to magnify because it genetically is transferred down. So yeah, that doesn't surprise me because that's in that reaction, you know, if that parent dog reacted to that vaccine, that's in the genetics, it's in the genetic code. And yeah, that can be, you know, passed down because it actually changes their, the genetic information passed on to the, you know, to the puppies. And yeah, I can totally believe that. And like, no wonder it's hard to, you know, figure out why some pets just don't get better when it's just could all be coming down from, you know, even not just their immediate parents, but their grandparents or great grandparents.
Yeah. They talk about self-mutilation is one of the side effects in rabies vaccinosis. So dogs who chew on their tails or their feet, and we may look at that and say, well, they're itching or something, you know, they've got an allergy to this food or whatever. It could be a rabies issue. So anyway, I would promote the anti-vaccinosis that we have available to help take some of those toxic things out. But at some point, if you give too many of those, you may just have permanent damage. So I would love for you guys to go over and consult with Dr. Jacek at ahavet.com before you make those decisions. Okay. Before you make those decisions, you don't have to rush down there and get your rabies shot right now. Okay. Get some information, look at the no-sodes. Yes, you can talk about the legal aspect of it, but you need to have all of the information right there, including the side effects. Be very aware of what the side effects are. And if you choose to go forward, at least you know what you're doing, right? You got to be informed. And that's called informed consent. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We do have our new website coming out. We have gone live at Raw Dog Food and Company. We do have a great learning center. All of our podcasts are there. Webinars will be there. Videos are there. Articles are there. So go over there and take a look. If you have any issues getting your food, just give us a call here at Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business. And my friends, don't let friends feed kibble. All right, Dr. Jacek, I'll see you next week right here on the Raw Dog Food Truth.
Oh, snap!
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business. Just snap.